I'm not mistaken, we began Nehemiah last week. I'm going to run quickly through the first chapter again. Make a few comments as we go. First chapter of Nehemiah. This is a review. Divrei Nehemiah ben Chachalia. The words of Nehemiah ben Chachalia. And we pointed out, Rashi says over here, Mikan ve'elech katav Nehemiah sefer zeh. From here on and further, it was in the month of Kislev, Shnas Esrim, the 20th year, v'ani ayiti b'shushan abir. Unless, of course, this is really a continuation from Sefer Ezra, and the last king we were talking about in Sefer Ezra was Artaxasta. And we're going to see later that that's precisely what's happening over here. Would this be a new Sefer opening and written by somebody different than Sefer Ezra? What we would have had the right to expect would be, we'd have a right to expect a proper dating. V'ani ayiti, and I was b'shushan habiro, v'yavu hanani, echad me'echai, one of my brothers. Some say it means a real brother, some say it means, you know, a brother to Anoshim Yehuda. They came from Yehuda, with people from Yehuda, Be'eshalem, and I asked them about HaYehudim HaPleita, HaShenisharu Min HaShevi, and they said to me, HaNisharim HaShenisharu Min HaShevi, Sham Ba'Medina, those who remain from the exile, those who remain there in Eretz Yisrael, Abiro, Gedolo, Becherpa, great evil, and so, from a personal point of view, people are suffering. And more, in addition to that, the Cholmat Yerushalayim Eforetzah, the wall of Yerushalayim is Brisha Ordeha Nitztuba Eish, and the gates of the city are burned, consumed in fire. All that has happened, and you know that was also an accomplishment. There have been some waves of Aliyah, and the Bethanim, many days. But he Samu Mit Palel, and I fasted and I prayed lifnei Elokei Hashemayim before the God of Heaven. V'omar, and I said, Ono Hashem Elokei Hashemayim is, O God, the God of Heaven, Hokel Hagadol V'hanora, the one who is great and who is awesome. I believe here that on another occasion we have to say it again over here. He does not say in his prayer what we say in the Shemona, Gibor V'hanora. He does not describe God as Gibor. And the fact is, it is not, but Nehemiah has really taken this from Daniel. In Daniel, Chat, Shemalakai to God, my God, Ve'et Vada, and I confess before God, Va'omra, and I said, Ono Hashem, Hakel, Hagal, also says, Daniel also says the next few words that are uttered here by Nehemiah, which are Shomer Habrit, the Gemara. This is a famous Gemara in Masechet Yuma, where the Gemara says, Lama Nikru Ushman Anshe Knesset Hagidola, great, mighty, and fearsome. Bo Yirmiyo, says the Gemara, Yirmiyo came and he saw the destruction. He saw that this is their fear of God. His Beto Omar Nora. He, in his prayer, I believe it's in chapter 30 or 31 of Yirmiyo, Gadol Hagibor. He does not describe him as Nora because he doesn't see the fear of God when God's dwelling place is consumed in fire. But Daniel, afterwards, Daniel came and he saw a Jewish people in exile, in a sense enslaved. They are a minority in that great world out there. So he said, Achrim mishtavdim bebonav. Non-Jews are enslaving his people. Aye Givurotato Omar Gibor. He did not describe God as Gibor. And therefore, in his prayer in that chapter 9 of Daniel, he describes God as Hokel Hagodol Vahanon. It's Chilul Hashem. It's a desecration of God's name. Along came the Anshe Knesset Hagadolah, and they composed the Shmona Esrei. And what did they write in the Shmona Esrei? The first brach is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avotenu, Hakel Hagadol Hagibor VeHanora. They returned the crown to its original glory. What was it that they said? They said that one little nation survives. They describe it as one little Shepsala survives among 70 wolves, the proverbial 70 nations of the world. That's God's awesomeness and that God might. His might and his fearsomeness is seen by virtue of the fact that the Jewish people survive. And therefore, they describe God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanor. The full description, as Moshe Rabbeinu had written it in Torah. What's most fascinating, of course, this line in the Gemara always shakes me with its beauty. The Gemara says, if Moshe Rabbeinu had described God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, the big, the mighty, and the fearsome, who gave Yirmiyahu and Daniel the right to change that description of God? I'm, of course, Daniel. And by the way, I think I can explain why he goes in the footsteps of Daniel and not in the Torah. Now, why did Yirmiyahu leave out Nora, the Gemara said? Because the Beis HaMikdash was in ruins, so where is the fear of God? But Nehemiah already sees a Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. So in that sense, God as Nora is re-emerging in the world. The Jews are a downtrodden people, still is true in the time of Nehemiah, and therefore he cannot disguise his might. Now back to the Gemara. That last line of the Gemara, where the Gemara asks, how did Yirmiyahu have the right not to describe? Who gave Daniel? And again, I'm adding Nehemiah to the list. How does God, how do Nehemiah and Daniel not describe? Another question. What is it, what was so special about the Anshei Knesset HaGadola that they saw better and perceived the situation in sharper image than Yirmiyahu, Daniel, and Nehemiah? How's that possible? Yirmiyahu doesn't see, and then the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, 70, 80 years later, they see better than Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, in comparison to all the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, he was greater than them all. So the Anshei Knesset HaGadola are able to perceive the situation and assess it better than Yirmiyahu, greater than Daniel.
What a dark
Sadiqim
we are.
Wait a minute. No comments until I'm finished, and then the truth is you'll make any comment you want, you'll see what I have to say. And you'll see. Watch. Says the Gemara, and it's so powerful, I'm telling you, it's so Mura generation. The Gemara answers, Mitoch sheyodin v'hakodesh baruch hu she'amiti hui, lazing rooms. He doesn't see it. So what should he do? He should say to himself, Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter had helped him. I got bitachon. The situation is a horrible one. He doesn't see it in his experience. So he's going to lie. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, wow, Nora. Daniel and Nehemiah, they take a look around at the situation of Klal Yisrael. So what are they supposed to do? They don't feel God's might. So, you know, they're going to go and, they're going to describe God as Hagibor. What, doesn't he know the truth? Doesn't he know that they have such difficult questions that they carry with themselves? They can't see God's Gevura. They're honest, and they know that God is honest. And God doesn't want the Navi to say anything that is an untruth. In terms of our own generation, I mean, it's quite simple. One does not have to be able to see the greatness and the awesome thing to be super frum and say, that's the Rabbeinu Shalom. What do you mean that's the Rabbeinu Shalom? That's Chil Hashem of the highest order. It's an absence of God's fearsomeness in the world. It is an expression of the complete opposite of God as Gibor. What are you talking about? God wants you to lie. You have to be like very special frum. What be tacham? God, I see him there. What do you need to see him there? It's the absence of God. It's God in concealment. Yirmiyahu and Daniel are saying the truth. Yirmiyahu and Daniel are going to lie. God in Himmel when your Beit HaMikdash is in ruins, I don't see you as Nora. I don't see it. Nobody sees it. When the Jewish people are enslaved throughout the world, this is not God's Gevura. As Moshe had said it, Hakel HaGodol HaGibor HaNora, for one simple reason, because they lived at a different time. We lived already at the time of Shivas Tzion, after Ezra and Nehemiah, and it was after in Nehemiah they are already going to see the rebuilding of the walls of Yerushalayim. They're going to see not only the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael, not only the reconstruction of the Beit HaMikdash, but Yerushalayim is going to be living at a different moment in time, one at which one can already see Hakel, Hagadol, Hagimah. We said that this Gemara represents maybe the confusion and the difficulty of our generation. The Gemara is describing three different generations: the generation of Yirmiyahu, the generation of Daniel, and the Jewish condition. They saw it one saw Churban, that was Yirmiyahu, one saw Galus, that was Daniel and Chemia, and Anshei Knesset HaGdol saw the rise, the Shivat Zion. They see Shivat Zion, so they're able to say, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora. Our problem is that in our own experience, we have experienced within a brief period of three, Yirmiyahu, Daniel, Nehemiah, and Knesset HaGedola. From Auschwitz to the establishment of the State of Israel, to Kibbutz Golios. In other words, if we're going to take 60 years, the 60 years, or the 70 years, compare them with the 60, didn't see his Gevura, and then all of a sudden, we're able again to see Hakel, that's the great challenge of our time, to be able to live all at Nehemiah is following in the footsteps of Daniel. He must probably sees Daniel as his rest. This is precisely the same tefillah, the same prayer that Daniel says in chapter 9, pasuk 4 of Daniel. After Nehemiah, we will be able to see Hagadol Hagibor VaHanora, because he's going to rebuild Yerushalayim. Tehino aznocho kasheret, pasuk 6. Let your ears be kashevet. Kashevet means more than to hear your ears. It means that in a very positive sense. We all hear things, but you know, within the normal course of events, you know, you hear something, so a week, 2 weeks, and then it's gone. This Nehemiah is so overwhelmed by what he has heard about the Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, in the 20th year of the king, and he, next chapter, which we're going to get to right away, he is then going to speak. It means that he's going to remain in a state of emotional turmoil about the report that he has heard from Eretz Yisrael for months on end.
Yes. Why is ear in the singular and eye in the plural?
It may very well be that the Malbim wants to sort of diminish the sharpness of the question that hears. Wait a minute. What was the pasuk that Aviva quoted at the end of Torah, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Lo notanach Hashem lechem leiv lo da'at"? We'll take it under advisement. We'll take it under. I have a feeling that there is there's something here, but we have to. All the Mephoreshim are really trying to. I'm trying to do something with it, but I'm not so sure what they mean. All right, under advisement. Okay. Asher Anochi Mitpalel Lefanecha Hayom, that I prayed before you today, day and night, al Bnei Yisrael, al Bnei your servants, the children of Israel, mitvadeh, and I can, she says that Chavol is a noun, and the noun means that we have hurt you. We have caused hurt to God. from or we've caused destruction from the word chabalah, chablan, mechabel, right? Chavol, chavalnu, lach. The Malan, it's a very fascinating interpretation of the word. Collateral. Doesn't say it over there. It may say it in Mishpatim. We're coming to Mishpatim. Lo tachbol beged almana. Now, I don't know whether it's in Mishpatim or it's going to be later in Dvarim. I'm not sure where how the word... Huh? It may be in Mishpatim. I'm not sure. Lo tachbol beged almana. I'm not sure. I'm making this up now. It may be because the collateral, in a sense, is like a hevel, a rope that connects the borrower and the lender, the ower and the... What's the other? Neither a borrower nor a lender. So he says the Malbim, Chavol chavalnu lach. We have given you collateral, Rebbeinu Shalaylam. There are things that you are holding as collateral that we keep our part of the bargain. There's a treaty that we entered into. It's the Brit of Sinai that was entered into between God and the Jewish people. And every covenant, in addition to the fact that there, of course, reciprocity is part of a covenant, but in a covenant also there has to be a penalty for somebody who breaks the covenant. And Nehemiah is going to talk about the penalties. You built penalties. The fact is that those penalties were more clearly stated at the Brit Arvot Moav, the covenant that was made at the end of the 40 years, and even to describe them, to listen, I get Eretz Yisrael is a covenant, and the Bet is collateral. You're not going to keep mitzvahs, you're going to lose Eretz Yisrael, you're going to lose Bet HaMikdash. So he says, that is, huh? Like a mashkanta. A mashkon, if I give something as collateral, that's a mashkon. So the Malbim says, Chavol Chavalnulach, means that we have collateral to you. And you had the right, because we broke the covenant, so you had the right to take back the collateral. Oshamarnu et hamitzvot, ve'et hachukim, ve'et hamishpatim, asher tzivitat Moshe avdecha. We didn't keep the mitzvot, the statutes, and the laws that you commanded Moshe, your servant. Zechornu et hadavar asher tzivitat Moshe avdecha leimor. Remember that which you commanded Moshe, saying, Atem timalu, you're going to sin. Ani ofitz etchem ba'amim, I'm going to disperse you amongst the nations. I'll take away Eretz Yisrael. That's it. That's that was built into the treaty. And then, of course, built into the treaty is the rest. V'shavtem elai, the possibility of rebuilding the mitzvot. You will keep my mitzvot. I'll see them, and you will do them. Then, im yenidachachem, if you will be dispersed, these are direct quotes from Brit Arvot Moav, the covenant that was entered into between God and the chiefs of on the plains of Moab. Im yenidachachem, b'kzeh ha'shamayim, if you will be dispersed, cast out at the very ends of the heaven, Mishom HaKabzen, from there I will be Otim al HaMakom HaShem B'charti, and I will bring them to the place that I have chosen, L'shaken Ish Mishom, to that my name shall dwell there. Who says, Nehemiah V'hem Avodecho V'amecha, they are your servants and your people, HaShem Padita, that you have redeemed, B'kohacho HaGadol, with your great strength, U'biyodecho HaChazaka, and with your strong arm. Honor HaShem. You can't ask me the question again. The same question you asked me before applies over here. Let your ear be an ear that hears El Tfilat Avdecha Vel Tfilat Avodecha, your servant, the Tfilah of your servant. Something about Ha'ish Hazeh that bothers me. Doesn't seem... He means the king. The king. He's asking of God that God give him... he will find favor in the eyes of the king, and we're going to see it in the next chapter, immediately what he has in mind. The pointing, or by virtue of the fact that you don't want to mention his name, it's because he... there's something Per, nah, come on. How many halazes do you know? Nana. Why doesn't he say Lifnei HaMelech? What would have been wrong if he would have simply said Lifnei HaMelech? Ha'ish hazeh. I don't know. I don't know. I don't like. Not that I don't like. I have a feeling that it is. There's something that concerns him about this man. It certainly is not a term that would indicate great restraint. Take a look. When you say pointing, Kleinsov says Zekeli Vaanvehu. They are mentioning the name. Or the classic example. Oh, no, there's there goes a noun with it too. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying what we're talking about. That's the one. When Amnon wants Tamar, whom he has just raped, thrown out of the room, the woman who a few minutes earlier out of here, and closed the door behind her. And then she says to him that what you're going to do now is worse than what you did to me before. Total rejection. She becomes an object of absolute disgust before Amnon. Ha'ish hazeh. Couldn't have said the melech. I mean, in a minute later, he's going to say, Vani ayiti mashkel ha'melech. Ha'ish hazeh. No, I like that. That's proof to me. What are you doing with the people? It doesn't make sense. What are you doing? Novel people, gamatovi kalhan, you and all of the people are going to fall apart. You simply won't be able to do it. What are you doing? I still don't have... Well, let's see. Maybe I will have reason why I feel that there's something about this, specific as it can be. And where does he say it? When Yaakov prays to God, Hatzileni na miyad ochi miyad Esav, please save me from the hands of my brother, the hands of Esav. So the Zohar says, but the Rebbe Yisrael Dibukov has only one brother. He doesn't have more than one brother. If he tells the Rebbe Yisrael Hatzileni na save me, share it with you and it should bother you too. But I mean, by bother, it means that there is a description of a relationship over here. And watch, I think that I'm going to be proven right. Vayehi b'chodesh Nisan, the past in the month of Nisan, Shnata, we're in... Wait a minute. Before chapter 1 of Nehemiah started in the 20th year of this self-same king. And now it's Nisan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat, Adar, Nisan. Do you know what you learn from this pasuk? You learn an extremely important halacha from this pasuk. The Mishnah says at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah that Nisan is Rosh Hashanah lemelachim epah. If a king ascends the throne on the 29th day of Adar, office. But the date on which every king's year changes is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Over here, Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, and it's still the 20th year. Why? Says the Gemara. A year is in Tishrei. What is the significance? There's tremendous significance over here. The significance, of course, is the difference between Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world. The nations of the world are governed by nature. The laws of nature apply to them. The natural year, in Torah, the natural year begins in Tishrei. That's going to be the period of planting and plowing and planting. Then the rains are going to come. In other words, the year, the agricultural natural year, the year as it begins in Tishrei. What happened on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei? Man was created by Elohim, universal man created by a universal God. What happened in Nisan? In Nisan, a new nation emerges in the year 2400. Israel comes into the world by virtue of what? The Nisim of Nisan. It's not for naught that Nisan is called Nisan. So Nisan is the Rosh Chodesh and the new year for the kings of Israel. But for the kings of the nations of the world, miracle of Jewish survival. So therefore their history begins in, and the year of the kings of Israel begins in Nisan. We have a lot of Ayin Lefonav. There is wine before him. I carry the wine. And I gave it to the king. I had never had a bad countenance in his presence. You can always tell when somebody's upset. Rashi and the Rambam explained that the king always wanted that anybody who's in his presence has to be. You could tell that he was jolly. That's what the king wanted. I had never been that way. She says. Vanilo Ayiti reflects a great deal of unhappiness. Kiyim Samer v'tov leiv. I was always, happy, good heart. Va'ata now Ayiti zo'eif b'ro upon him. There was an anger in me, and it expressed. He said to me, Madu apanecha ra'im v'ata ein chachole. Why is your face bad, and you are not ill? Ein ze kiyim ro aleiv. There's something in your heart that is bad. What's going on in your heart is something, there's something bad in your heart. Yaakov says to Yosef, after he tells him, please bury me in Egypt, don't bury me in Mitzrayim. So he says, I need to bury me Padan. We talked about that, Rashi, when I came from Padan Aram and your mother died on the road. I didn't take her into the city. I buried her on the road. So Rashi says over there that Yaakov had told Yosef, Yadati sheyesh belibicha alai. I knew that in your heart you held it against me all these years. You're my favorite son, but I knew that you held this against me. And then, of course, he explains to him, Al pi hadibur kvarti. Rachel should be there as a source of comfort and to pray for the Jewish people. Then they take Rashi back to our Rashi. The king tells him, "Yesh belibcha alai lahamiseni b'sam hamaves." You know what he's accusing him of? I know why you look so bad, because in your heart there is a plot to kill me with poison. B'shtiat kos zeh, by drinking this cup of wine that you're bringing before me. Vo'ida, now we understand, as Rashi says, Vo'ida harbi miyot, Nechemya says, I was very frightened. V'nityareti miyot alkach, shelo yalil alai hamelech alila. I was very frightened that the king should make false accusation. Why is he so frightened of something of this sort? He remembers what nearly happened to his father. His father was Achashverosh. What did Bigson Vaseresh want to do? Bigson Vaseresh wanted to assassinate Achashverosh. No, Artaxasta, the king's father. The king's father had nearly been done in by a plot, by his butlers. In a number of shurim that we gave on Megillat Esther, we explained what a frightening change came over Achashverosh after this plot, that here people in the palace themselves are the ones who the people closest to him are the ones who. The story of the assassination is at the attempted or the planned assassination is at the end of the second chapter of the Megillah, and then it says Vayivada Hadavol Mordechai. I told Esther, and Esther came and she told the king in the name of Mordechai, and they wrote it in the Sefer HaZichra of the Amelech. Everybody has to bow down and bend and scrape before Haman, because this is what the king has commanded. And why is Haman raised to power in such a meteoric way? Because the king becomes a frightened, petrified, terrified individual. He creates a palace that's a bunker, and that's why when Mordechai is going to come to Esther and tells Esther, go to the king and tell him the golden scepter. Do you know what that means? Nobody can get into the palace room. Wherever Achashverosh is, he sees himself surrounded by people, because he has risen to power over the dead bodies of I don't know how many millions of people. Sure, there are a lot of people. There's a bunker mentality in the palace of Achashverosh. And how was it done? They want that they put poison in his drink. And here Nehemiah comes. And all of a sudden all of these thoughts come rushing back to Artaxerxes. So now Rashi says that he's accusing him. You're Roal, don't look the way you always do because you're in the process of trying to kill me. Now, you know, that's pretty nice thing. Pretty strong, live the king. Madua lo yeda'u fanai, why shouldn't my face be bad? Asher ha'ir beit kivrot avotai charebiyah. Says the Malbim. Kimokom kivrot ha'avot haya yakar v'kadosh b'nei ha'parsim. A capital city, the city of the Bet HaMikdash. I mean, there are a lot of things in Yerushalayim. Why does he describe it as Bet Kivrot Avotai? See, there's a lot of karma around Yerushalayim. I mean, it's not a lie that he's saying. But it's not what we would normally, you're right, that it's not what we would normally, if a Jew says Bet Kivrot, so the king said to him, so what is it that you want? But Palel El Elokei Hashemayim, he's standing there in the presence of the king. So I said to the king, Imal HaMelech Tov, I mean, this doesn't sound like Esther all over again. Imal HaMelech Tov, Vimitav Avdecho Levonecho, and if your servant is good before you, Asher Tishlacheni, what I want that you should do is you should send me to Yehuda, El Ir Kivrot Avotai, I will build her. Vayomeli HaMelech, and the king said to me, Vahashegol Yoshevet Etzlo. This is a very important word. The Shegol. Who is the Shegol? There are those who say that the Shegol means the queen. There are those who say that it means concubine, mistress, Pilegesh. Okay? But both of those pshatim don't explain to us why is this necessary now? Why is it necessary altogether? I mean, what do I have to know who's in the room? Maybe the whole cabinet is in the room. The mitbichon is in the room. And if it's important for us to know, so why didn't it say it first possible when we mentioned the king? So we say the king was sitting there and his shegel is sitting next to him. As the Malbim. By the way, this is there is one opinion in the Gemara that says that the Shegel was a dog. Now, we're not saying the queen was a dog. Shegel was a dog. And he had a thing going with this dog. I mean, all right. I mean, you know, there are all sorts of things that people do for kicks. And certainly that's true in the... the ancient world. It isn't a Veltai. But the Malbim, I think, over here says what has to be said. He says, "Bahashegel Yoshevet Etzlo." What the pasuk means is that the king and the Yoshegel, the Shegel who are sitting near him, both said it. Vayomeli HaMelech. No, it depends on how you read the pasuk. Vayomeli HaMelech. Bahashegel Yoshevet Etzlo. So now. It could be read one way, or it could be read two ways. It could be read, the king said to me, and by the way, the queen or the dog or the woman was sitting next to him. Or you could also read it, Vayomeli HaMelech V'Hashegel. The response came from king, and there's the line there. The king and the Shegel said to me, says... So there I can answer that. When two people say something like with one voice, a singular is used, and I have so many proofs in Tanakh. Kotzar hayiria mistareh. I couldn't even tell you list them all. But a singular is used when people, even if it's more than one. Well, you have it in this week's Seder. Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hahar. Israel come to Sinai, Vayichan, and he encamped, says Rashi. What's the singular? Because they came Ki'ish Echad, Belev Echad. One heart, absolutely unified. But listen to what the Martin says. And he also brings, I didn't notice this, he brings Archaia that you can use the singular. I didn't even notice it. You see, when you ask a question, so all of a sudden something in lights up. The Martin says, Vayomer Avimelech Ufichol Sarzavo. They both spoke, or they both agreed, but the singular is used. Well, now listen to what the Malbim says. L'dat Chazal, according to our rabbis, Melech Zeh Hayador Yovesh Ben Esther. Artachshasta was really, that was another name for him, but he was Dor Yovesh, who was the son of Esther. So therefore, the Malbim theorizes and says, the Shegel that was sitting next to him was the queen mother, Esther. Esther is sitting next to her son. Shehi mihara b'she'elazot ba'ahavata et ama u'moladeta. You know how fascinating this is. Twice she comes into Achashverosh. What did Achashverosh tell her? Esther, at chatzi ha'malchut v'te'os, until half of the kingdom. I'll do it for you, whatever you want. Ah, says Rashi, Chazal say, I'll give you anything except that which splits my kingdom in half, and that is Binyan Yerushalayim u'Bet HaMikdash. Rashi brings it in the Megillah. He says, if you're going to be one of these people who's coming over here with a petition for the construction of Yerushalayim and the Bet HaMikdash, forget about it. I don't want Yerushalayim to be rebuilt because, as remember, as we have learned in Ezra, it's Mitzion takes a trouble and rebellion comes out from Yerushalayim. I don't want to permit the reconstruction of Yerushalayim. He was opposed to it. He was very, very opposed to it. Can you imagine all good things come to those who have the patience? She's most probably already an elderly woman at this time, Esther. Exactly what she would have wanted from Ahasuerus that she couldn't get, she's not going to get it. Esther is sitting over there and she is beaming from ear to ear. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised that her son is so quick to respond together with her, because she educated him the love of Amahu Moladeta, her people and her birthplace. She sees herself in Shushan HaDarim. This is Darius 2 or Darius 3.
Artachshasta. Is before Darius?
No. According to the Gemara, Artachshasta, every king of Egypt was called Pharaoh. But every Pharaoh also had a name. No? Artachshasta, according to an opinion in the Gemara, Artachshasta was the title. But this is Daryavesh. According to Chazal, this is Daryavesh. He's Daryavesh. Maybe the first is the son of Esther, and the Shegel is sitting right there. Yes? It sure does. You're absolutely right. And even the chief rabbinate of this country would say that he's Jewish. Didn't that explain what? Why Nehemiah wasn't Shushan Abira? That's also true. You're right. We're talking about a king who is halakhically Jewish. I, if you have to choose, very good. So he doesn't have Yayin Nezah. Say a good. Say a good. Don't be out. Very good. Okay. I see it. But I'm just thrilled by this pshat, because I can identify with what Esther must. I hear it of all psukim. It points out that this shegel, whoever it is sitting next to him. So he says, shegel azot haita Esther. Esther, his mother. So then, how does the king respond? You know, he doesn't even respond by saying you can go. He does better. He says, at matayi mahalachah. When you go and when will you return? Vayitam lufnei hamelech. It was good before the king, by Yishlocheni, and he sent me by Etna Lozman, and I gave him a date by which I would return. And I said to the king, Yamal HaMelech Tov, if it's good to the king, he wrote letters, not such good letters. I mean, even the final letters that were good, I described the final, a few days ago I talked about the final letters. The first letters that were sent, well, there were three sets of letters in the Megillah. The first set of letters was that that was real news, you know. The second set of letters is to tell people to be ready for the destruction of the Jewish people on the 13th of Adar. The next set of letters that were sent in the Megillah were the letters giving Jews permission to defend themselves, which of course I pointed out in Shul. I think that was Friday's Jerusalem Post says that America said Israel has the right to defend itself. Go ahead. Some things never change. On Sunday there was another headline. The main headline in the Jerusalem Post was Israel has the right to retaliate. Now do you understand? Now that means there's serious movement going in. First of all, they give us the right to self-defense. We're the only people on the face of this earth.
They give us the right to exist.
To exist. Uh-huh. Well, not everybody gives us that.
No, but that's what they're always talking about.
Yeah, but those two great statements that came out from the State Department of Zanka Lechter, it's unbelievable. William Cohen, I don't know, I think his father was Jewish. This Artashasta is more Jewish than William Cohen. I think William Cohen, his father was a Kohen, but...
I heard a lecture by Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld.
Yes.
And he calls Madeleine Albright the Yidden in the State Department.
I don't know what I would call her. That house, anyway.
She's
the most powerful, yes.
Politically.
Yeah. Now, I was only learning, you know, we're only learning Nehemiah. So now there are new letters. You understand? I don't know how many years it is. It's most probably, certainly 20 years later. It may very well be 30. There are letters that are going out of Shushan HaBira. And do you know what these letters from Shushan HaBira are? Letters, he asks for letters al tachvot eva hanot. He's traveling to the other side. The other side of the river is the side that is toward Eretz Yisrael. Asher ya'aviruni, that they should give me safe passage through all of that country. Then you get it, another letter. He get it el asaf shomer hapardes. He wants a letter, Nehemiah wants a letter to Asaf, who's the one who's in charge of the forest, the orchards of the king. He needs wood. Ashel HaMelech, the one who's in charge of the Tzim, he should give me wood. L'karot et sha'rei habira, ashel habayit, u'lechomat ha'ir. A ceiling, a covering of sha'rei habira, the gates of the capital city. Shall I buy it? And we're going to see he's going to build not only the gates, but also the walls. At what? Walls that come up to the east facing Har HaZeitim are at one and the same time both the walls of the city and the walls of the... We'll come to... And the king gave to me all those letters as the hand of God was good upon me. For he got safe passage. And more than that, he sent with me officers and cavalry. Ezra didn't ask for that, and Ezra said that he was embarrassed to ask for a military escort, but Nehemiah gets a military escort. He asked for it, yes. I tried to explain it then. The pasuk over there said that he prayed to God, you know. He felt that he's going on this holy way. We remember is Moshe-like. I would say if we want to take Ezra and Nehemiah, Ezra is Moshe and Nehemiah is Yoshua. Ezra is the one to whom miracles happen. Nehemiah is the one who works within the laws of... I think I'm right. Here is where we become even more contemporary. This is going to be a recurring theme now. Vayishma Sambalat HaChol Roni V'tov Yoha Eved HaAmoni Sanballat is going to be one of the important people over here. He is going to be the one of the oppressors of Judea. So Sanballat the Choroni and Tovia, the Eved Hamoni, they heard, and it was very bad to them. They were very upset. So that a man has come to seek the good of the children of Israel. What they're going to do about it, that we're going to see in the ensuing chapters. I came to Yerushalayim. Don't ask me. Pshat in the end of this passage. And I was there. Yomim shlosha. I was there 3 days. And I looked in the Mefarshim, and I haven't found anything yet that satisfies me. A number of you had asked the question, why is Ezra also comes to Yerushalayim, is there for 3 days, and then he begins to work. Don't tell me it has anything to do with jet lag, nothing to do with that at all. Bayom HaShlishi, Avram is the one who arrives at the... Bayom HaShlishi, Bihi Yot HaBoke, on the third day of preparation, in morning, the lightning and thunder and the sound of the shofar as God begins to descend upon Mount Sinai. Anyway, Bo'okum Laila. This is the important nighttime journey of Nehemiah, and this is done in secret. I got up at night. Aniv anoshim ma'ati mi ayin, but he got it to the Lord. I didn't tell anybody else. More Elokai no tainali be what God had given into my heart. La'asot liyirushalayim to do Yerushalayim. He has come and told anybody of his plans. His plans are to rebuild the walls, but he hasn't told a soul. Because one has to be very careful that there is reason to be concerned that information should not get out, as the Second World War, what is it? Loose tongues, loose lips in ships. I thought it said loose tongues, but I for the present, I bow to your superior knowledge. There is to the wife of Bani accusing Yosef of wanting to rape her. So he's put into prison by Potiphar, and the pasuk says that he's put into prison where Asirei HaMelech Asurim, where those who are incarcerated because of the king are jailed. So the Meshech Chochma, Reb Meir Simcha, picks up on this. There isn't Keller Ramla or Telmond or in the Russian compound. But why is it terribly important? So he says, you know, it's terribly important. And of course, the end is that he's going to be incarcerated with the hoi polloi, the Sar Hamaskim and the Sar Hamaskim, about the workings of government, that they should not be able to pass on this information to anybody else. Well, you couldn't let the Sar Hamaskim or the Sar Haofim in some jail together with the riffraff, because they might in some way give out secrets. These people have to be kept alone. Says the Meshech Chochma, do you know why he wants Yosef? Because he knows that his wife lied. He knows that it was his wife who attempted to seduce Yosef and not the other way around. And he doesn't want this information to get out. He knows his wife. Yodea Potiphar Nefesh Ishto. He knows his wife, just as the Gemara says, Yodea Tzadik Nefesh Behemto. He knows her. He knows her. There's no doubt about him. He knows who Yosef is, and he knows who she is. And he wants him in a place where he tells her, child is going to be born, he's going to be this, he's going to be that. And then, hu yochel lahushia, he's going to begin to save the Jewish people from the hands of Plishtim. And she tells this oath to the Meshech Chochma, because loose lips sink ships. Nobody has to know that the child that she is carrying in her womb is going to be the great nemesis of Plishtim. And then the third place where the Meshech Chochma says this is, it says, Ki teitzei machana alo yivecha, when you go out to war against your enemy, v'nishmarto mikol tovor ra, you have to be careful of any... The Meshech Chochma is troubled. What do you mean? Wherever you go, you have to be careful of anything bad. Why? What particularly about war? So send her a word that would be giving away the secrets of the army. You can't let that... Can't let that information fall into the hands of the enemy. Somebody goes on further to make a giant step which is of extreme contemporary importance. Meshech Chochma says that first of all, Jew to fellow Jew, talking Lashon Hara or Rechilus about somebody else, another Jew. The Jew who goes to talk to Goyim place pressure on Israel. Don't give them money. Jews who undermine with their words, undermine the safety and the security of fellow citizens. You have to be very careful. Nehemiah is somebody who knows the importance of secrecy. And that's going to be his midnight investigation of the situation. He hasn't told a soul why he's come. It takes only a few people with him. Nehemiah got there. No, it's not so much where the ride, the midnight ride of Nehemiah, but it's more than that. He's going to. Yes, my wife says we should take it to Yule, and I think that it's an excellent, excellent idea. So we're going to try and make, in other words, want to create an, or have created for us a new Tiyul in the footsteps of Nehemiah. He'll around the walls of the old city. I think it's going to be fascinating. Someday, when the winter is over and there's a night, Wednesday, and Yitz Hashem will do it this time. We'll finally do it. It's going to be fascinating. Okay, keep continuing.